to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and I'm here today once again with Jeff Kelm. Jeff, how you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself, Dan?
I'm doing great. And tell us what you did last week.
I got a chance to go back out to Montello one last time. I know the last time was supposed to be the last time.
The real last time.
This is the real last time. We're not going to touch that property now until opening weekend of gun deer season.
Right.
And got some lanes cut and noticed some scrapes and things like that along the property. So, you know, we just cross our fingers. It's going to be a good year. We've got a lot of standing water in some places. Very wet in Marquette County and most of that central part of Wisconsin, south-central part of Wisconsin. So a lot of standing water. Might be a little different. Change some of the deer patterns at the area. So you never know. Maybe I'm kind of on a drier side of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll, you know, they're tending to my side a little bit more than you'll hear them coming.
You know, when the ground is wet, deer are quiet. But if you've got standing water, they splash just like you and I do when they come through it.
Yep.
So if you're smart to leave it alone for a couple of weeks, so your scent will be gone.
Yeah. We hope to surprise them opening day.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But
did you put out any deer cameras, trail cameras?
I just got one. I'm like a kid on Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really am. I just picked one up, bought it online, and got it picked up at the post office the other day. I can't wait to actually get it out and try it. It seems to be one of the better ones on the market, but you know, everybody's got their own opinion on them.
Sure.
So we're going to set it up. Actually, I'm going to set it up by my dad's place in Arpin, Wisconsin,
okay.
and see what's going on through there, because I might deer hunt that either second weekend of deer hunting or maybe even to the muzzleloader season. So
okay.
I kind of want to see what's going on up there. If I put it out in Montello, I feel like I'm cheating myself because I've only got one camera, and there's so many places they travel to.
You can't cover them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to cover. I just don't have the money to keep buying trail cameras. So
okay.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see how it goes. But I'm excited to see what the trail camera picks up. You know, and I've seen a lot of pictures. I'm jealous of guys and some of the deer they've got walking through their property, and some of the unique pictures too. That even my grandfather, he's got one up near Antigo. And he's got a couple of pictures. He had one set of pictures. His camera takes a picture every 3 minutes.
Okay.
And had this buck walk in, just a little five-pointer. And you see him walk into the frame. Then the next picture, he's facing the camera. And the third picture, his eye is right up next to the camera. You see the reflection off the eye real bright. And then the following one is him kind of, it almost looks like he's disoriented.
He's probably
staggering
from that flash. He's like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it's unique pictures. I can't wait to see what the trail camera brings. So.
Nate. You know, folks, if you have good pictures of deer or turkeys or bear or wolves or anything exotic or exciting on your trail camera, you can send an email with an attachment by going on LakeLink.
Yeah, that would be great to see some of them.
If we get a great photo, we'll put it on our electronic newsletter. Well, Jeff, I've been doing a little bit of firewood gathering now that it's cooling off. And, you know, we thought we were going to move this year, and we didn't, so I didn't put any firewood up.
Uh-huh.
But I had a lot of trees go down in the woods behind the house this summer, so I've been cutting up the drier ones, the ones that were dead, standing dead, or leaning dead. They're not as good as if you cut it into chunks and then split it. But by the time we get around to burning it in a couple of months, it'll be a little better.
Good and dry, yeah.
And also, Deadeye and I went out and gathered some squash from a local farmer who sells his squash, but he had a lot of blemished stuff that was just going to rot, and so we gathered some of that for a local food pantry.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so did our thing for folks who are hungry, and you know, we kept a couple squash for ourselves too, but we have a big garden, and you know, we're trying to store a lot of food now that winter's coming on.
Yeah, do you do canning or anything?
Actually, she did some canning of pears this year for the first time, and I think she canned some tomatoes. We grew so many tomatoes in our garden and community garden that she helped establish, and we just had tomatoes coming out of our ears. So
yeah.
You know, every other day in the last month or so, there's been a big pot of tomatoes boiling down to, you know, you take a pot of tomatoes. It's not a cooking show, folks, but if you take a pot of tomatoes, you boil them down to tomato paste, and you get two little, 6 or 8 ounce jars of tomato paste. And then you can either can that or, in some cases, we froze it. So
okay.
We'll be eating cacciatore all winter, I think.
That's
rabbit
not too bad,
cacciatore
though.
And a little venison and and maybe some grouse and pheasant, too.
Well, that's not that bad. I remember growing up, my parents used to do a lot of canning. They not so much anymore, but a lot of currants and things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of fruit canning.
Mm-hmm.
So, always interesting to see.
Yeah, all right. Speaking of scent control, as we did earlier, we'll be talking with Dan Bertellin of The Exterminator, a very high-tech super scent control device that we heard about a few months ago, and now it's been on the market a while, and people have been actually hunting with it, so we'll get a report from Dan on how that works. We'll also talk with Chris Cantrell of Milford Hills Hunt Club about what's coming up at Milford and get some shooting tips for him in case you're a wing shot and maybe you're not hitting all the birds that you think you should be hitting. He's got some advice for you. We'll get a report from Brian Long in Ashland County on the, kind of the tail end of the fall muskies activity, and maybe a little bit of a bow hunting report as well. And we'll talk with Michael Rita of Kenosha County about the fall fishing that's going on down there and a kids' fishing program that he's involved in. All that and more right after this.
Did you see the 30-pointer?
As we jumped into the truck, then I'm going to get that 30-point buck.
I'm going to get that 30-point buck.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, or check them out online at mwshooters.com. Get ready for gun deer season with one-stop shopping at Midwestern Shooters Supply. Save 20% now on all Blaze Orange clothing, including outer garments, gloves, and hats. And save 20% on all boots and camouflage clothing in stock. And if you still need a new gun for deer season, save 5% on all guns and optics through November 15th. Midwestern also offers great prices on ammo and all the accessories you need for deer hunting. The helpful staff at Midwestern Shooters Supply wish you and your hunting partners a safe and successful gun deer season. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com. That's 920-269-4995 or mwshooters.com.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Tuesday through Sunday for upland bird hunting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Check them out on the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's milfordhills.com or 920-699-2249.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
This next report is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com. And Jeff, you know, Midwestern Shooters Supply has all kinds of gear for hunters, as we've heard in their ads, including this Exterminator scent control device.
Okay, we talked to Dan a couple of months ago about this and checking in to see how things are going with him.
Yeah. And we have Dan Bertellin back on the line. And, Dan, you've been using the Exterminator, I'll bet.
I'll bet I have, and I wished I was the creator of it. That would mean that probably I'm a rocket scientist. I do have a science background, but it's not that deep.
Okay. So how does this product work? Now, it's been, gosh, at least 3 months since we talked to you, and now we're right in the middle of the rut, and guys are out there deer hunting, and some of them are successful, some not, and to a lot of extent, sometimes failure is due to the deer getting wind of you.
Well, really, you know, if you boil it down, and I like to make this analogy, most people think that a deer is a 200-pound animal with maybe antlers on it and probably four legs.
Hmm.
When in actuality, if you hunt it like it's a 200-pound walking nose with four legs and some antlers, mm-hmm. you do a much better job of hunting it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back historically on some of the most successful whitetail hunters that there are in North America, they all have one common thing in their background, and they're all rooted very strongly in the sense of almost being a trapper, in that they are just almost fanatical about scent control, to the point of washing everything, wearing waders when they go into the blind, and all this stuff. So really it boils down to, when you're hunting a white-tailed deer, there's two things that are fighting you or keeping you from maybe getting a deer, and one of them is your direct human odor, which ironically is the easiest thing there is to control, and then your indirect contaminated odors, which is much more difficult to control because they come from all these different thousands of things in our daily environment.
So now when you say contaminated odors, that's like when you stop for gas and you're wearing your hunting boots, or you go into a tavern after hunting and you're wearing your jacket, or things like that, right?
Yeah, those are some pretty dramatic ones, and those are ones that we can really smell if we stop in a tavern and somebody, you know, is in there smoking, or just the different cooking odors and stuff. But really, when you think about it, if you walk into somebody's house for the very first time, it smells funny.
Oh, it smells different, yeah.
Not bad, but funny.
Yeah.
Because it's their house, and it has thousands of different odors that make up the background smell in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in their house smells like that because these scent molecules cling to, and if you want to use the word, contaminate everything in that house. But when you're in there for about 15 minutes, your nose becomes desensitized or accustomed to it. Same thing with your house. You know, I think, gosh, my house doesn't stink. Well, everybody thinks that because they're accustomed to their house.
Yep.
So we undergo a barrage or an assault of molecules of contaminated odors all day long that touch our bow, our tree stand, our boots, our hats, our clothing. Virtually everything that we wear or take into the woods has some level of contaminated odors on it.
So how does this exterminator work to control those odors?
Well, I could tell you the secret to that one, Dan, but I'd have to send my Uncle Louie over to see you.
Okay, just tell us what it does then.
Okay, it's an organic molecular scrubber that was developed by researchers in cooperation with NASA when they discovered that when they sent people up on the space station in a confined environment, in about 3 days, everybody was not smelling too good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't wash with water in an atmosphere with all kinds of electronics and no gravity. So
deer camp is a little bit like a space capsule.
Like space shuttle, yeah, they take that. Yeah.
Well, it kind of is. Anyways, they developed this thing that emits an airborne plasma of something you can't see. It's simply molecules that are called superoxidizers, and they come in various forms, but essentially what they do is they shred, not break apart, but actually shred the molecular bonds between organic compounds in a molecule. For instance, if I were to spray your hunting jacket with a teaspoon of aspirated gasoline, the CH4 hydrocarbon molecules are very tenacious, and you'd stink like gasoline for a month.
Sure.
If I put an exterminator 4 feet away from you, point it in the other direction, and push the button on your garment in a closet, in 3 minutes, it's beginning to shred the gasoline molecules. In 13 minutes, it's carbon and hydrogen laying on the floor.
Wow. Now, can my nose detect the difference?
Your nose can detect a difference. Let's say that you just took off the socks of your partner there, or even your own. You put one in a Ziploc bag, you put the other one in your closet with exterminator, push the button on decontaminate for 20 minutes, probably 15 at work.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the sock out, shake it, smell it. You will smell absolutely nothing. It smells like it's been dry cleaned and put outside for 3 weeks. Now reach in the Ziploc bag and smell your other sock, and you'll see that, whoa.
Okay, amazing difference. Now, what are hunters saying about this product?
They're saying it's the most revolutionary thing to impact the hunting industry in the past 30 years. Scentlock with carbon impregnated, activated carbon within the fabric was a big boon to hunters who are really conscious about scent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. However, one of the challenges with Scentlock is that you have to regenerate it in a dryer, you have to keep it clean, and unfortunately the carbon can only do so much, and you're contaminated on the outside of the fabric with all kinds of contaminated odors. So we sent, get this, we sent an exterminator to Intertech Labs in New York. Did I tell you this story?
I don't think so.
Okay. They're the highest efficacy testing lab for this industry in the world. They do all of Scentlock and Robinson's, everybody's testing.
Mm-hmm.
We sent them an exterminator, we sent them a brand new Scentlock jacket. I said I wanted them to contaminate it, saturate it with airborne stink, the worst thing that they had, And he said, well, that's a compound called EMA, and it's really nasty because it's the main derivative of cat urine.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that because that's one of the things we use.
Mm-hmm.
We even have a special building for it because it's so noxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I want you to do that, and then I want you to put it in a closet, and I gave him the dimensions, put the exterminator in there and put it on a cycle for decontaminate, and then test it afterwards and see if there's some of that stink there. He said, well, this is going to cost you several thousand dollars, and I hate to tell you what you want, but, you know, I'm the head guy at this lab, and you're wasting your money because it's not going to do it. You need at least, you know, 140, 160 degrees and agitation, and he went into this big thing to tell me about breaking the covalent bonds to drive this stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, give it a shot. We have to do this. He called me up Friday, said, the Friday evening that he did the test, he said, I'm shocked. I said, what happened? He goes, you're not going to believe it. It worked. I said, well, I believe it. It worked. He goes, no, I don't think you understand. Listen to this. We fully saturated the fabric and the activated carbon within the fabric to 100% saturation of airborne EMA. Then we put it in the chamber, 4 hours decontamination, pulled it out. There was absolutely zero EMA in the fabric. Not only this is what has set us back on our heels. It drove out 60%, at least 60%, of the absorbed EMA in the activated carbon without the destruction of heat in tumbling in a dryer.
Huh.
So they were even shocked.
Wow. Okay.
We were told that this might happen by some of the researchers who had been working with NASA, that it's so powerful that it can even drive these molecules out of activated carbon. So it not only decontaminates your boots inside and out and your hat and everything else, it actually plasma regenerates Scentlock type clothing.
Amazing. Now, we mentioned this is available at Midwestern Shooter Supply and I suppose other retailers?
Yep, people can go online to exterminator.us, and that's spelled with an X, TERMINATOR.US.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a list of our dealers. If you can't find it there, you can actually call Exterminator or contact them on the website through the email link, and they'll point you in the right direction or get a machine in your hands.
All right. Well, Dan, before we let you go, I know you've been doing a little duck hunting, and fortunately, duck hunting doesn't require scent elimination. But what are you finding?
Well, the ducks are out there, but unfortunately they're wary, and one of the things that you're always confronted with, and it's kind of this way in whitetail hunting too, you can't control what's happening in the other side of the pond
mm-hmm.
and what somebody else is doing. So it's a challenge. I don't see any big flights of northern birds down yet. I would think with this cold front, they're going to be here any day.
All right. Well, Dan, we'll check back in with you perhaps later in the season, and we certainly appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you. I always like it.
And that was Dan Bertallon of Exterminator, and you can check out Exterminator, that is Exterminator.us, to learn more about it online. And this report was brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com. Well, Jeff, let's see what's going on up north.
Up north in Ashland?
Ashland County, yes.
All right.
And this is brought to you by Ashland County Tourism on the web at visitashland.com. And one of our reporters, of course, is Brian Long, a muskie guide from Glidden, Wisconsin. And Brian, you folks had a little snow up there early in the week, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And how does that affect the muskie fishing?
Well, the wind that comes with the snow is actually harder to deal with than the snow itself.
Yeah.
At this time of year, it seems like the muskies are concentrated a little bit, and to stay on them in the wind is a little bit of a problem.
Uh-huh. Okay. Have the lakes finished turning over?
They just finished turning over. The water temperature on the lakes that I'm fishing was between 40 and 45 degrees.
Wow.
And most of the lakes in Ashland County are similar. They're relatively shallow water lakes, as opposed to the big clear water lakes in Vilas or Sawyer County.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all about the same.
Okay. How's the fishing been? The
fishing was very good last week.
Good.
I had a gentleman from Batavia, Illinois, and he had four nice muskies in 3 days, up to 24 pounds. And it just seems that this time of year you have to be patient because the windows of opportunity get shorter as the water gets colder.
Yeah.
So could people still come up and fish for muskies then all the way up to ice in?
Well, yes. The season closes November 30th, but usually we're iced in by then.
Okay.
Now, 24 pounds, that's bigger than anything we saw at our University of Essex a couple weeks ago, although we did have a lot of action. We caught a lot of medium-sized fish, had a lot of fun.
Yes. Yep. It's a good time. It's a good time of the year.
It certainly is, but it's a good time to be doing other things, too, and I imagine you're doing a little bow hunting now.
Well, I'm just going to start the bow hunt. I've done a little grouse hunting. There's so much to do this time of year.
Yeah, it's a dilemma in November. You can goose hunt, grouse hunt, deer hunt. You know, you can do all kinds of different things. And well, the rut's basically started, and should be a good time to get out and bow hunt.
It should be. It should be.
So, are there some pretty good deer up in Ashland County?
Oh, Ashland County is noted for their big bucks. Although the years vary from year to year, and the place to place.
Mm-hmm.
Some places are spottier than others.
Now, there's a fair amount of public land in that area with the National Forest, isn't there?
National Forest and County Forest.
Uh-huh.
Now, the type of land that people see up there, it's more of a thick popple forest type? Or I mean, it's not the like the western, southwestern part of the state where it's open cornfields or anything. What kind of conditions are people looking at?
Well, we have big woods up here. I mean, you can walk literally for miles without running into anybody at times. And there's big swamps, which I like the edges of for the big bucks. And it's just a wilder part of the state.
Have you seen any wolves or heard any?
We have lots of wolves. In fact, the gentleman I hunt with out of my cabin found a wolf kill not far from the cabin a couple of days ago. So
a wolf kill of a deer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that means that even if they're feeding on the deer, if the wolf kill wasn't far from the cabin, the deer aren't being chased out of the county anyway.
Not yet. Not yet.
I think that's a concern that a lot of people have that's really misdirected. The wolves are certainly going to prey on the deer, but they're not going to chase them all to southern Wisconsin.
No.
I think, Dan, you and I had a conversation just briefly talking about when you are hunting in an area that has a wolf population. You may not see as many deer, but they're going to be a little bit more leery on just walking out. You know, they know the predators are around. So I think in the Ashland County and most of northern Wisconsin these days has that wolf population. I think you just got to search a little bit harder and prepare a little bit more, I think, for your hunting experience when you're in wolf country, I suppose.
Yeah, and what happens when the wolves are there, the deer know that and they kind of move around. And when the deer move out when the wolves are there, the wolves will move out and the deer will come back in.
And of course, if the wolves are moving deer, it's a little bit like having other hunters in the woods, isn't it?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, well, you know, opening weekend of gun deer season, which is only a few weeks off, is a time when I lived up that way, I would sit in my tree all day. And if I didn't get a deer in the morning, I would just stay there because somebody was going to get cold and go out for lunch or just take a hike. And that's when they'd move deer, so I would imagine that the wolves do the same thing.
Yep. Well, we hunt all day. We get up early, and we hunt every minute that's legal, so we work at it.
All right. Well, listen, Brian, we don't want to keep you, so I know you got some deer hunting planned for today and the rest of the bow season until you score on a big one, but let us know if you do, and we'll put your picture in the newsletter, okay?
Excellent.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Brian Long of Glidden, Wisconsin, and this report was brought to you by the Ashland County Tourism on the web at visitashland.com. Well, Jeff, with hunting season in full swing, a lot of guys are out there shooting at birds, and a few are even bagging some birds.
Yeah, if you hit them just right, it does happen.
But we've got a guy on the line who can help us bag more birds, and that's Chris Cantrell of Milford Hills Hunt Club. Chris, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Hey, this report is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, which is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffgrousesociety.com. Nope, .org. Got to do it again. On the web at ruffgrousesociety.org. Well, Chris, we kind of made a joke there about missing birds, but that is a common thing early in the season, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Tends to happen. Guys are a little rusty, either didn't practice, you know, during the off season, or just keeping up the old bad habits and need to get out and do some practicing and get that out of the way before you get the real thing in front of you.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that thought for a tip in a minute or two here, but you're down in San Antonio, right?
Yep, came in on Sunday down here at the National Sporting Clays Championship helping set up targets for, okay. I think we got 1,400 entrants this year.
Wow, that's a big event.
Very big.
Yeah, so I imagine it's a little warmer down there than up here?
Yep, I had to blow the dust off my shorts and get them packed away. I think it's about 82 degrees today.
Yeah, well, you can pack them away when you come home because not that warm here. So let's talk a little bit about Milford now. Your fall league is winding down, your Sporting Clays League, but you've got a winter league, right?
Yep, fall league is winding up. This week is the last week for shooting. Very big success. And winter league will start January 11th, we'll do three shooters to a team, and that'll be a 8-week league as well. And that's a good way to stay tuned up when it's kind of chilly outside. And right now we're also shooting on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, of course, your bird hunting season is in full swing.
Absolutely. Already quite a few hunts going out, a lot of corporate events already booked, and still openings available. Anybody, non-member hunts are welcome. Just give us a call and we'll get you set up.
Okay. Well, let's get back to that shooting tip now. Bird hunters who want to score more consistently, what's some advice?
Especially with the upland birds, what I've noticed here the last few weeks are guys shooting extremely fast, almost having the gun empty before the birds even 15 to 20 yards out, and stress every time before we even start is to tell the guys to slow down, take your time, usually shooting a little bigger shot, you know, number fours or fives or sixes, and you got plenty of time. I see guys, as soon as they see the bird, they want to shoot as fast as they can, and first off, sometimes it's not safe, and second off, usually don't get to see the bird too well. You just see a blur and point the gun in one general direction and start blasting away without realizing what you're doing.
Now, how can you make yourself not do that? How can you condition yourself to shoot more deliberately?
You can do the same thing on the Sporting Clays course. We have a wobble trap, which is very, very good practice for upland bird hunting. And you have to do the same thing there. You have to train yourself to take the time. Make sure you see what you're shooting at before the gun is going off.
Okay, so take that extra split second or so.
Yes, absolutely. And you have plenty of time. A lot of guys get in a big hurry and afraid the bird's going to get away and try to shoot as fast as they can and throw as much lead in the air as they can before it gets away. But it's usually a little better to be a little more precise and take your time and make sure you see it before you're shooting at it.
Yeah, you know, I used to say that my first shot was just to get the gun warmed up because I did that, and I can't say that I don't still do it occasionally, but as you say, some practice shooting, especially at Sporting Clays where you know pretty much what the target's going to be and you know where you want to break it, that has always helped me be a better bird shooter.
Absolutely, and you know, you get a group of guys in the field, and sometimes it's a competition to see who can get the most shots off or the quickest shot or get the bird down the fastest, and usually the guy shooting the fastest has the gun empty the first out of everybody and may not have the bird on the ground yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you got plenty of time, and don't get in a rush and a competition with your buddies. Just take your time and choose your shots.
All right. Well, Chris, we'll talk to you again in a few weeks for another shooting tip, maybe a early winter tip or something like that.
There we go.
All righty. And we look forward to getting out to Milford Hills and doing a little pheasant hunting as well.
Perfect.
That was Chris Cantrell, the manager of Sporting Clays and the field operations at Milford Hills Hunt Club. And this segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org.
I've been here and nobody got past red. And the world is saying, come on somebody, why don't you run? Oh, red ditching.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad Bait, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad Soft Bait Brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus Sporting Clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated Sporting Clays system on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and enjoy Sporting Clays now at reduced prices. Winter Sporting Clays League starts January 11th. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season started October 1st for pheasants, chuckers, and Hungarian partridge, with bird specials available. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure, and you don't need to be a member to hunt or enjoy the bird specials. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
No Child Left Inside is brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards. And this is also a fishing report brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. And Jeff, we've got Michael Rita on the line again. He's the outdoors writer for the Kenosha News, and we talked to Michael, a couple months ago.
Summer fishing. Now he's switched over to the fall.
He certainly has. And, Michael, you're still catching fish, aren't you?
Yeah, no, the action's been great. Pulling nice bass out of Lily Lake, and this time of year, it's a little colder than it was, I think, last year at this time. But, you know, in the shallow waters right now, the pike really slammed the Rapalas, and that's been really, really a lot of fun.
What's the biggest difference you've got fishing the lakes that you fish from summertime to fall?
They're not as excited to eat, as for one. And then the other thing is they're starting to move out towards the deeper water. Mm-hmm. And I know the lake turned over up in Vilas County last week when I had some family that were up there, and they were telling me, I'm not sure if they totally have turned over down here yet.
Mm-hmm, but they're certainly on the way.
Oh, I'm pretty sure more the smaller ones, all the 50-acre and less, or even maybe the 100-acre and less lakes, they're probably all turned over by now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned that this is our No Child Left Inside segment, and that's because you told me when we set this interview up that you work with a local grade school and getting their one of their classes outdoors.
The Kurt Anderson, a teacher at Trever Grade School down here in Trever, Wisconsin. For the past few years, he has taken groups of kids, about 25 kids, and they set it up in the fall, and they go 3 consecutive weeks. This week will be the last week that they go, and I basically, all I do for them is I find locations where they can do some shore fishing with the opportunity to catch fish, and
they've been successful, you know, two out of the three, so hopefully when they hit Lily Lake this week, they'll be just as successful. But it's a great program. It gets them out into the outdoors and out of the classroom, and, you know, there's something to be learned when you spend time with nature. I know you guys already know that.
So. Absolutely, and our listeners know that, but it's good that the kids get a chance to do that. How do the kids respond to it? Do they enjoy it?
Absolutely, they love it. Some are it's the first time that they've ever even seen a fish, so they're a little hesitant to touch them. But they really do enjoy it for the most part, and heck, I mean, what kid doesn't want to get out of class to do some fishing or do whatever once in a while?
Right.
Yeah, I definitely did the same thing myself. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
you skipped school to go fishing?
Well, yeah. I mean, don't tell my parents or anything,
okay.
but yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of ice fish. A lot of time spent on the ice.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, you are now writing your column every other Sunday, right?
Every other Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what are you going to write about this time?
Well, I'm torn, but I think I'm going to have to go out to Lake Benedict and pick up one more perch fry on the open water before I probably close that down and wait until the January comes around. There's some superior perch in there. I got pictures all over the wall at our pizza shop here and of just, 10 and a half, 12-inch perch, and there I've been pretty blessed to catch them all year round.
So. Uh-huh. So, have you ever done a perch pizza?
Actually, we have done panfish on a pizza before, yeah, but you fry it first and then you throw it on halfway through the oven, and it turns out good. Anchovies, I'm not a big fan of, but the perch, the fried fish on there is pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Well, Michael, we'll let you get back to work, and appreciate your taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a blast, and I'll let you guys know how the outing goes for those kids Wednesday out on Lily Lake.
Yeah, please do.
And Michael, real quick, how can people see your articles online?
Yeah, you can go to KenoshaNews.com, and you'll be able to pull up the articles. And also, if you go to Kenosha County, MySpace.com, Kenosha County Lakes, I post all the catches and the outings that we have had and stuff up there. So
great. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That was Michael Rita, outdoors writer for the Kenosha News, and this report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. And this was also our No Child Left Inside segment, brought to you by Balestrary Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards.
With the grass and the dirt and the gravel on, going back to the well, going digital, friends. My soul with a blacktop in.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. and LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
This portion of our show is brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com, and also by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And Jeff, you know, we're talking with Mitch Postuma of Midwestern Shooters, and Mitch, are people starting to think about deer hunting?
Oh, they sure are, Dan. Mm-hmm. Actually, in Wisconsin, we consider deer hunting starting the weekend after 4th of July. Most people are looking already at that time.
Well, the smart ones are.
Yeah, yes, they are.
So what should people be doing now to prepare for gun season if they haven't already done that?
Well, if you are not purchasing a new rifle this year, you should probably tune up your old one.
Okay.
Make sure give it a good, thorough cleaning. You want to check the screws, make sure that your scope is tight. If your scope or scope mount is loose, of course, that means you're not going to hit what you're aiming at. You mm-hmm. might miss the 30-pointer. And if you're not satisfied with your cleaning, bring it to a competent gunsmith and make sure it gives it a good, thorough cleaning. You know, the accuracy counts, and
yep.
doesn't matter what you miss with, but it helps if you got a good, clean, good working gun.
Yeah, okay. And if you're buying a new one, you ought to sight it in, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Good optics, a good mount, good base. You know, your gun can only shoot as well as the optics you put on your gun. You should have it sighted in. At least, sighting it in, take the time to sight it in. There's a lot of clubs around. When you purchase a new gun, all we can do here at the store is bore sight it. You know, that's designed to get you on the paper 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the full job. You have to finish sighting it in yourself.
Now, a lot of hunters say, you know, all I've got to do is hit something the size of a pie plate at 100 yards, and that's basically true for deer hunting here in Wisconsin. And there are so many different calibers with different trajectories. Is there a rule of thumb for point of bullet impact, just a rough number for people to go by without getting real technical?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dan. In Wisconsin, most shots are taken 100 yards or under.
Yep.
So if you zero your rifle at 100 yards, you should be on target all the way out to 200. You know, your bullet drop's going to be less than the size of the heart typically with most calibers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you zero at 100, you should be good. If you're hunting in a location where you have the potential to shoot 200 to 300 yards, I would definitely zero the gun at 200 yards.
Yep.
With your standard calibers, 30-06, 270, etc., you would be about 2 to 2.5 inches high at 100.
Mm-hmm. Which is still dead on. You can't
still
hold that.
On.
Yeah, you can't hold that that accurately without a sandbag. Most people, anyway.
Most people I know. Yes, I'd agree with that.
Okay. Now, do you find that hunters sometimes forget an essential piece of equipment? Not their rifle or. We would hope their rifle or their
knife,
their lunch, a knife. Jeff says,
"Yep,
I have done it myself."
Yep, you're not the only one. Make sure you have your ammunition with you.
Yeah,
oh yeah, that's a big one.
That's essential.
Yeah.
Magazines. If you have a gun that has a detachable magazine,
yep.
Pick up a spare.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to lose one in the snow.
Right.
That
right.
can ruin a hunt in a hurry.
Yep. Okay. And do you make a checklist of stuff that you need to take with you?
I have over the years, yep. Uh-huh. It's the basic essentials, like we spoke about. You know, make sure you have plenty of ammunition. Make sure that you've got your compass, you know, your flashlights, whistle. I always bring a whistle along.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing I got in the habit of is bringing a marking tape. It's just, you know, just something blaze orange or, you know, something you can just tie around a tree that if you're going into an area you haven't been before, just mark your way in, and eventually you can find your way out if you intend to do so.
Very good idea.
Yeah, and I suppose if you don't hit a deer solid, you can mark the trail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mark where you got blood spots or right. whatnot, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, recently in past years down in the southern part of the state, we haven't had much snow opening weekend. And that's a real good idea tracking, you know, when you're tracking a deer marker with some of that marker tape.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Real good idea.
Well, I know you folks are going to be busy in the next few weeks, but we'd like to keep you even busier. So if people have questions about firearms or are looking for a new gun or optics or any other accessories, they should stop by Midwestern Shooters Supply right there on 41 and 67 in Lomira. And you have a website, too?
Yes, we do. MWShooters.com.
Uh-huh. And they can call, of course, 920-269-4995.
That is right. We'll be happy to answer all the questions, anything you want.
Okay. Well, Mitch, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thanks, Dan.
And you have a good season if we don't talk to you again soon.
You too. Good luck hunting out there.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That was Mitch Postuma of Midwestern Shooters Supply, and this segment was brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply. On the web at mwshooters.com, and also by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife. On the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org.
Well, Dan, Outdoor Wisconsin, we always enjoy listening to what's coming up. I always enjoy, you know, making sure I'm either watching it or I've at least have it recorded so I can watch it again. But what's coming up this next week?
Well, Jeff, next week, in honor of this week's Halloween, Judy and I are hunting exotic pheasants at the exclusive hunting club in Edgerton. It's actually a two-part series where next week we hunt one kind of strange pheasants, and the week after they get even stranger. So,
all right.
Yeah, it's a fun segment. If folks missed it the first time around, this is an encore performance, and I think you'll enjoy it. We also visit one of our sponsors, radio sponsors, Midwestern Shooters Supply, where we talk with store manager Randy Belko and Andy Stuffel, who is an artist who works there painting from roughly from 9 to 2 almost every day. And if you go there during the day, you'll see Andy working on some of his paintings, and he's got his paintings for sale there as well. And I'll be fishing for muskies on Lost Land Lake with Warren Nelson, our theme song writer, also known as Anglin' Wayne. It's a great show, folks. You don't want to miss that one.
Got some rifle sight-ins that are on their way in the next coming weekends. The Racine County Line Rifle Club in Caledonia. Got Finn and Feather Sportsman's Club in Palmyra. Also, Menominee Falls Rod and Gun Club in Sussex. Wisconsin Sportsman's Association in Union Grove. Daniel Boone Conservation League in Hubertus. And the West Bend Barton Sportsman's Club on Highway 45 and Friendly Drive in West Bend. If you want to check that out, make sure you get to your local Sportsman's Club, get your rifle sight in as well. And if you know of any, go ahead and give us a call or email us from the website at lake-link.com/radio, and we'll make sure we get your rifle sight in announced as well.
Absolutely. And gun deer season, as you know, is coming up November 22nd, and wild ginseng closes today. Wild ginseng season. Do you
All right.
collect that stuff?
I have not. Have you?
I have done it once, yes. Did it with Lenny Heiss, a guide down in Crawford County many years ago when we were turkey hunting.
All right. Got any big plans for the upcoming week?
Oh, I think I'm just doing more firewood.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe a little pheasant hunting this time. I still got a turkey permit to fill, so there's too much to do, as we said before.
Any bow hunting the rut?
I could probably sit out one or two evenings, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, before it's all over. How about you?
You know what? I'm just going to kind of lay low until gun deer hunting season. I got the rifle sighted in already, so I think maybe I'll get out goose hunting. I don't know. Maybe.
A lot of geese around. I've been making firewood, and I've been hearing and seeing geese low over the trees, so maybe I should carry a shotgun down in the woods.
Maybe. You never know.
Well, you've been listening to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small, and I'm here with Jeff Kelm. Join us again next week. Outdoors Radio is brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. And by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com.
When the loon cries, lover, in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when
my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be in.